Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. My gosh, hasn't it been a busy week?
It has been. I've walked, like, a ton, way more than I think I've ever walked in my life, so there's that.
See, you've been walking like a Pokemaster, and I've been walking like a chump, not catching anything but mosquito bites.
And oh my god, my legs are covered in mosquito bites. It's actually really bad.
Yeah, and heat exhaustion. I caught a bit of that
over the last couple really?
Days. It's really hot out there, man. I don't know how you're doing it.
Well, yeah, today was the first day that I really kind of like, I literally walked out onto the front porch and then went, nope, and turned around and went back inside.
I'm catching Pokemon in the air-conditioned basement.
Exactly. Like a real Pokemaster.
Yeah, like the real Pokemasters that your parents would warn you about.
Yep.
Yeah. Watch out for those basement-dweller Pokemon.
That's literally the name of our Chromecast is Basement Dwellers.
Nice. Well, you know what? It's living up to the pedigree by being in a basement. Yeah, Pokemon Go. I still have not jumped in on the whole created a U.S. account to access it. I finally read it today to see how it was done, and that you switch accounts to a U.S. account. You download. The only catch is that unless you have a U.S. You have a U.S. iTunes card, you can do in-app purchases.
Yes.
Which is the best money-saving scheme that you could ever come up with.
It has curbed my Pokemon spending insane amounts, because I'm always like, oh man, like I wish I had like more incense or more lures, or oh, I'll just go buy a 10-pack. That won't be a big deal. And then I remember that I can't, because I can't actually technically do in-app purchases, and right. I'm just like, sweet. But I don't know. I feel like they kind of, because a couple days ago, they came out and said that they weren't going to release it in any other markets right now because of all of the server issues. And basically, they didn't realize how popular it was going to be. I feel like that is shooting themselves in the foot, partly because of the in-app purchases thing, and partly because, personally, I am shocked 100% that you haven't actually gone and created the account and downloaded it from the U.S. store, because I feel like saying we're not going to, you know, put it out in any other countries is almost a way to say, hey, all you guys that have been patiently waiting and following the rules, yeah, we're actually not going to do anything to help you out. So I'm surprised that like people like you didn't go, and maybe they did, and maybe you're just like the extreme outlier case. But I feel like people like you would have gone like, oh, well, you're not going to release it quote-unquote legally. I don't know if that's really, but you know, like I don't know if that's the correct term, but you know what I mean, like, you're not going to release it in my country, fine, I'm just going to do the workaround.
I'm like, part of me is looking at this scenario and saying, you're right, like, you're looking at the news, and it was something I was complaining about before we went on the show, is that one thing that they're not doing well, they're not communicating when the game is going to be coming to these folks that are willing to download and purchase. Like, I was just seeing anecdotally a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, I already put $10 into it, $15, yada yada yada, and I'm curious as to why they're not being more vocal, like saying soon, a few days for these other territories and continuing the rollout. That would just, the most recent rollout would have been to Germany this morning, probably late evening or afternoon their time, but nothing since. All they've said is, hey, Germany, go out and download and have some fun. There's still large areas of Europe that don't have it, that I'm seeing people that are in Europe that are currently playing it and using the workaround. And for me, I often wonder, like, well, if this is going to be, because I'm a big fan of Pokemon, big fan of Nintendo, as most people know. And I'm curious, like, if I go and download it with my U.S. account, you can't do in-app purchases. Although I'm sure people are, you know, working to write into us on how you could do in-app purchases pretty easily. But then my account's stuck on this U.S. thing, right? Or do I... Oh, no, you
sign
in through
Google.
Well, no, because
you sign in with your Google account. So the only thing... So basically, I signed into the U.S. App Store, and I have to keep signing in with my U.S. Apple ID in order to get updates. But I mean, the internet tells me when there's an update, so it's not really a problem. They patched a very big security concern this week. So, you know, like then the internet was like, there's a Pokemon patch. And I was like, okay. So then you just log into the App Store with your US account and you download the update or you download the app or whatever, and then you're done. And then I log back into my regular iTunes account and it works because the app works off of your Google login, not your App Store login. So even like once the app is actually available in Canada, I'll be able to go into the Canadian App Store and then I'll be able to download the app and still have all my progress.
That solves one minor like little thing that I had, but I don't know if you've seen, but there's been some stories out there, and I'm not trying to spread like rumors or anything, but there's some stories out there of people's accounts being banned, having logged in from a different, in a country where it's not available. Now, mind you, I know a lot of people who are playing it outside the US, Australia, and New Zealand, and I'm seeing this activity, then I'm seeing these stories that aren't being covered by the bigger sites, which probably means that it's like just, it's garbage. People are probably saying it just so a lot of people don't like flood the servers. But I have heard that they're banning devices based on accessing the app. But I haven't seen any concrete evidence to that.
Yeah, and that's something that I really don't think that they can legitimately do. Because, for instance, there is a girl who's a CM for Blizzard for the Hearthstone team. And her boyfriend is in Norway, Finland, something. Anyway, so she was visiting him during the launch of Pokemon Go. She legitimately has a US iTunes account or App Store account, whatever, Apple ID, and she was catching Pokemon out in Europe. So like with people traveling and everything else, like I think it's too much to kind of weed out who's doing it legitimately and who's not. And obviously I'm not doing it legitimately, but I really wanted to play Pokemon, and it has been a great experience. And the number of people that, like, they would have to ban millions of accounts because the number of people that we've met, even just in our town outside of Toronto, has been incredible. Like, there's so many people. We put down a couple of lures at a couple of Pokestops, and then, like, there are so many. There must have been, like, 15 people that showed up.
Wow, really?
And, like, yeah. And, like, we were walking through the park, like, the first night that it was released, and then, like, there's other people walking that are, you know, also got their phones to their face and are just like, Pokemon? They're like, Pokemon!
Oh, man.
Yes! Like, there's so many people playing, and it's not even technically out in Canada yet.
Yeah, I actually saw a news story, you know, maybe not, I wasn't sure if it was that exact area, but, like, little news stories popping up across the country, like Waterloo, Poke Nuts, and Halifax, and Toronto, obviously, like, a lot of these articles popping up, and the first sentence being, like, even though the game is not released, many Poke fans and the Canadians are, you know, it's like, oh, man, this is huge. And even at work today, I talked to two people, one of which is a bit of a gamer, but not a huge Nintendo fan, and another person who had, you know, is into geek culture but had no idea played video games, and we ended up talking about Pokemon Go for quite, like, in the entire lunch. And then as we were going back to work, someone overheard us talking about it, and he's like, yeah, I was just out for a walk and I just caught a bunch of Pokemon, you know, and and he had sideloaded on his phone, but it was like it felt like 40 degrees outside, and you could tell he was outside poke walking and poke sweating. And I felt for him, but I was like, you know what, I think it's gonna happen. I think I'm gonna do it. So Nintendo, if you're listening, I'm not gonna do it, but I am gonna do it. So hopefully
you're confusing me with all the winking, Ryan.
I'm really hopeful that Nintendo watches the video version, because if they just listen to it, they might just think I'm being crazy. But I think it's time, and you know, I've just been, it's A, been incredibly hot. So I was like, I don't know if I want to, like, force myself to go outside in this heat, although that sounds incredibly lazy and non...
Well, you can just walk around your house.
I suppose. And I do a lot of walking outside for general reasons, so it'd be nice to do something with it.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is you just have to have the app open in your pocket, and then you're hatching eggs, and you're getting credit for all kinds of stuff, so...
I'm going to do it after the show, and... You know what? I'll give it one more day because I have Friday off, and Friday will be my poke day. My poke day leave. I've just been applying poke to everything.
I think everyone has been, and it's been glorious.
It's another thing that kind of came up was, and that's why I was really happy with the positive conversation I had at work, but I've been seeing a lot of weird negative posts about this Pokemon Go. And I don't know if you've come across that in your sort of, well, obviously you've probably come across it in your social, social meeting. And, I just don't get it. Someone on the radio, like local radio, the guy was like, now don't hate me, but, this new Pokemon thing, like, I don't know. I'm not a gamer. Like, I remember back in the, I think it's just a fad, you know, I think it's a fad because, you know, you remember the Mario and the Call of Duty, you know, that didn't last long, but this Pokemon thing, like, I just saw my buddies are at the bar and they're like trying to catch Pokemon. I was like, I don't get it. And he just went on and I had to change the radio station because I just couldn't handle it anymore.
And there are a lot of people, I think, that don't understand the attraction to Pokemon. But I think the reason that I love it so much is it has nothing to do with the Pokemon themselves. Like, it's really cool. It's really fun. It's really interesting. And I enjoy it. But the thing that I love the most about it is, and Jim just said in the chat room, he's walked 25 miles in the past week. Sure. It's getting me and Matt outside. And we hadn't had, like, I mean, God, there were some weeks during the winter where I think I went outside once every 10 days. Like, I had no reason to get out and be active, and I've put on a ton of weight, and it just, getting me out of the house and walking around, it just makes me feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying playing the game because it gives me a reason to go outside that's really fun and really cool, and that we're, you know, it's an experience that we're sharing with a whole bunch of different people. So that's my main reason for enjoying it, is because it's making us get out and get active. And I think that's a great thing.
It's basically
like gamifying and rewarding exercise. So,
and that's the thing. Like, that's the reason I got a Fitbit, because I wanted to kind of put
that
extra.
It's the same
idea,
but
but there's more of a digital layer of sort of that treat. Like, okay, you walked 2 kilometers. Now your egg's
gonna
hatch.
And you got a Pikachu.
Exactly. And I really think, like, everyone I'm talking to has just been nothing but positive. And obviously with everything that's popular, you're going to have that, like, negativity that creeps into your social wall. And I was surprised. And you know how the radio works. Like, the night before, they Google what's popular, and then they
shit on it.
And I'm just like, it was frustrating. And I already hate local radio. Like, I like music, but I don't like listening to people talk who, I don't know. I'm sure they're nice people.
XM and it's glorious. The only bad thing about it is that although they do the same thing that terrestrial radio does, is that they repeat the same songs over and over again. But I definitely know what you mean about traditional radio personality is not my favorite thing. But there is some stuff that I have seen about Pokemon, and it basically, I think it's negative but worth pointing out, is be aware of your surroundings, guys.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, there's been stories, and I'm just, you know, like, waiting on what I hope is not inevitable, but, you know, the first, like, car accident caused by Pokemon, like, first death caused by Pokemon. Like, guys, just don't Pokemon and drive, please.
Yeah, that's...
Also, be aware of if you see a lure on a Pokestop at 3 o'clock in the morning in a secluded alley, don't go down the alley. Like, you have to still use your common sense and be aware of your surroundings and your situation. And just, you know, let the Pikachu go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll find another one at another time, I promise. But just keep your safety in mind when you are Pokemoning, please.
It's really important. And I mean, most of the stories I've heard, like, the more interesting ones in that vein have been like, oh, you know, two kids arrested for setting up a lure to rob kids, and someone accidentally walked into a drug deal. Oh, when did this happen? 2 a.m. because they were out walking, playing Pokemon Go. And I think, you know, 2 a.m. is great. Lots of cool stuff happens at 2 a.m. Lots of really bad stuff happens at 2 a.m. I know some people have that saying, like, nothing good happens at 2 a.m. But if you're safe, some good stuff can happen at 2 a.m, like maybe playing video games really late with some friends. That happens all the time. So just don't, you know, don't, like, go walk down the alley at 2 a.m. Just wait until the morning. And wait, are there, like, night Pokemon that you have to catch? Because that could probably be causing it.
So I think yes. Mm-hmm. Matt says no. The internet is still out, but I don't think that I've actually seen a Zubat during daytime hours, but when I say daytime hours, I mean like when they say things come out at night, they seem to be, you know, like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So there's like there's a whole lot of like night, which is not right. technically night. Yeah, I mean there's no real reason that you have to put yourself, first of all, it's game, guys.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no legitimate reason to put yourself in danger over a game. But
this isn't even esports, right?
Yeah, like, you don't exactly. There is no leaderboard.
Well, there is a leaderboard, but I don't think you have to worry about like getting a prize for being the gym leader. Like, did they have this problem when Foursquare was big, where it's like, oh man, I got to be the mayor of that Tim Hortons. I better get down at 2 a.m. or someone's gonna take it from me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so, because the thing about Pokemon Go is that, you know, there's always a chance that there's gonna be Pokemon like anywhere. Okay. So, you know, like they randomly spawn and they don't take into account, you know, good neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods, like good places to be, bad places to be, trespassing, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, when they're random spawns like that and you are randomly walking because you're trying to get closer to the Pokemon, like you may not realize where you're going or what's going on, or then that's why, like, there's every time you open the app a message that says be aware of your surroundings. But, you know, like, actually legitimately be aware of your surroundings, guys. Like, don't, yeah, just...
Don't trespass. Don't go to jail for Pokemon.
I know that we always, like, you know, these things pop up, like, user agreements and warnings. And we're always, yeah, okay, yeah, A button all the way through it. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Let me get to the game. But that is actually a legitimate warning that everyone should pay attention to. Just be aware of your surroundings and stay safe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not difficult. And I know, like, Matt and I have been out, the two of us, walking around, and it's been, you know, like midnight, and I'm still aware of like who is around us and what is going on. Like, yes, we're looking for Pokemon, but we're still like sticking to paths and staying in well-lit areas, and you know, like,
still a little much though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but
I'm just throwing it out there.
Down at midnight.
What doesn't go down at midnight?
The servers don't go down at midnight.
Oh yes, I suppose that is.
There's so many less people playing.
That is true. So have the servers been really shaky still? Like, is that still a thing?
Yeah, there's still some server issues for sure. Mm-hmm. We went out Monday, and we used up a bunch of lures and a bunch of our stuff, and then the servers crashed after about 20 minutes of us being out, and that sucked. Oh. But yeah, you just need to, be aware.
Well, I will be aware. What is it? Stay safe, stay clear, stay safe. What's that old cartoon?
Stay alert, stay safe.
There it is. Thank you. It's like, there, that's out of copyright, right? I don't think. Yeah, I'll have to give it a shot. I'll probably load it up tomorrow and who are we kidding? I'm going to do it right after the show.
I know. So there's one other piece of Pokemon news before we move on to what else we've been playing this week. So apparently, maybe there's going to be a Pokemon live action movie coming to us from the same company that brought us the Warcraft movie. So, Ryan, I don't know. Did you see the Warcraft movie?
I did see the Warcraft movie. Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know if we actually talked about it on the show, but yay or nay, just, you know, real quick, yay or nay on the Warcraft movie.
I liked the film as a Warcraft fan. I think anybody who doesn't really know anything about Warcraft needs to A, be interested in learning a bit about Warcraft, or probably just shouldn't see the movie. I think it's very heavy. Like, it's very Warcraft, which is great for us, but not so great for someone who just wants to go see like a geeky, like, it's
fantasy
not,
movie.
I don't know. It's just it felt like they went in the other direction that the comic book movies do with Marvel, where they lean all in and expect you to know some stuff. Whereas if you could go see Iron Man, you can go see Iron Man and be fine. You don't have to read the comics. And I don't know whether they could fix that or whether they need to fix that. I think as long as enough people in China go to see the sequel, we'll keep getting more, right? So, and that's not an insensitive comment. That's actually what happened. And I'm thankful for that we have, there's enough people that wanted to see this around the world that we will possibly get a sequel, which is all we could really hope for, I think, at this point. But yeah,
so the reason that I ask is because the Warcraft movie obviously is a live action, I guess I was gonna say reenactment, and that's totally the wrong word. It's a live action interpretation of a obviously cartoony video game.
Sure.
And so the rumors are that the Pokemon movie is going to be live action, and therefore an imagining of a much more cartoony universe, and I, for one, do not know if it's going to work. What do you think?
I'm trying to think of a movie that's come out that you could point at and say, you know, this almost worked, therefore Pokemon as a live-action film could work. And I don't think, you know, Warcraft's probably pretty close in that it's a very good combination of real live actors and CG. And I don't know, I'm trying to think of on a smaller scale in terms of all the Pokemon being CG and everything else being just actors. And yeah, I think if Warcraft can succeed, Pokemon's kind of like a no-brainer, because you look at the success of Pokemon Go, and you also look at the success of the Pokemon films, what, 20 years ago? 15 years ago? They were animated, but they were... I remember when that first Pokemon movie came out, and it was just like... It did gangbusters. People mm-hmm. were all about it. I remember my brother went to see it before me with some friends, and then they came home, and the parent of the friends was like talking to us, saying like, yeah, this is big. It was super packed. You got like Pokemon cards when you went. Like, it was huge. And I think the sequel was also huge, but then right after that, it just dropped super mm-hmm. hard. But no, I think it's the right production company. I mean, Legendary Pictures certainly knows how to make a big movie without, you know, sacrificing what the franchise is.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they've been chasing after it for a while now. And I think... I hope it's not like sensationalist news, like, oh, Pokemon Go is big. We need a story that isn't just the servers are going down or it hasn't launched in Canada yet.
Yeah.
So to see that that this is old news but also new news, and that they're close to securing a deal is really exciting, because I want to see more Nintendo franchises made into a great film. Like, we haven't had a great film based on a Nintendo franchise, or even I think Warcraft's really the only thing I could say is the only video game franchise that really got the movie it deserved.
I don't know how I feel about Pokemon. I feel like live action probably isn't going to do it the justice that an animated movie would, but sure. We've already had animated movies. The only thing that gets me really excited is that if a live action Pokemon movie is created and does very well, then that might lead to a live action Zelda movie, and then I would be so happy.
Well, you know what, if Breath of the like if this is how this is how this usually works, that, you know, Pokemon Go comes out, it's Nintendo has a stake in the Pokemon company that helped create Pokemon Go, or at least facilitate the creation of this mm-hmm. game. So that much removed, and yet still, when this game started to be successful, Nintendo's shares raised by 10%, increasing their value, I think, in the billions.
It was, yeah, I think I read two different figures. Mm-hmm. One, I think, was 7 point something million, and the other was 9 million. But the point is, billion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it was billion. Yeah, no, that was my misspeaking. But no, so somewhere just south of $10 billion, mm-hmm. basically, more than five, less than $10 billion increase in Nintendo's value. So. That's insane.
Yeah.
That kind of an increase in a week? That's just like...
They needed it too, because when you look at what Nintendo's doing right now, in that they're starting to create smartphone apps, and I've seen the argument that it's not the... Like, we've already made the argument that Nintendo, it's about their IP. It's not necessarily about the platform. Like, the Wii... bad example. The GameCube didn't make Nintendo games great. It was just Nintendo games that made Nintendo games great. There can be some
which
argument.
Is what I have been saying for years now. Like, you
exactly.
can go back probably mm-hmm. at least 150 episodes of The Gamers Inn, and you can actually see me saying Nintendo should get the hell out of hardware and just make software and license all of their IPs onto existing platforms. Now they've done it with Pokemon. They've put their existing IP onto hardware that we all mm-hmm. already have. And their stock went up 10%.
Hopefully you still have it. You dropped it pretty hard there. it's a solid argument. When you look at everybody who has these devices, Android and iOS are one of the most, you know, dominating smartphone platforms. So you're hitting, I don't have the numbers, but I would think at least 75% of smartphone users, right? Like, my dad has a Windows phone, and I don't think they sell those anymore. You know, like I guess I have a BlackBerry, but you know that's part Android now, anyways. So it's the argument's not there. So when you look at that and you say, okay, obviously this is big for Nintendo, but what it means is it's also big for the fact that Nintendo's is making more smartphone games, and Miitomo didn't light the light anything on fire. If anything, it was kind of a that was a fad, came and gone pretty quick. And when you look at what Nintendo's doing next with their smartphone apps, you know, a Fire Emblem and an Animal Crossing game, two of the most popular handheld franchises that they have, aside from Pokemon, you got a pretty good recipe there for even more money rolling in for this company, whether it's fictitious shares money. I don't get it. Like, oh, it's doing well. Let's throw more money at them, you know? I'm not an economist, so I'm sure someone could explain it much better than I could, but it bodes really well for the company. And you're right, it has nothing to do with the NX, it has nothing to do with Zelda, it has everything to do with just this smartphone app that they licensed the Pokemon franchise to, and it's kind of a recipe for success. When you put these IPs in the right hands, you can make some great games. It is a great game, right? Like, it's not just a cool thing.
It definitely has some things that it can improve on. Mm-hmm. There are some issues, although I'm not sure if they are like server issues or actual game combat issues, but one way or another, there are some issues with the gym combat. Okay. Some little glitchy things that aren't really great. There's no trading, although they've said it's coming. You can't battle friends, which is, I think, a huge oversight. Like, I would love to just sit here and be able to battle Matt. That would be super fun. But at the same time, the combat isn't that interesting. It's not turn-based. It's real-time. And it's basically just tapping. So, like, you just tap to do your, like, basic attack, and then you power up your bigger attack, and then you hold and then release to do a bigger attack. So that's it. It's very, very basic. All the Pokemon have two moves, and that's it. So it's really, really basic.
And that's the other thing Nintendo said. They're not looking to duplicate their franchises on smartphones. So Pokemon Go doesn't necessarily need to be the Pokemon game you play on 3DS on your phone. It would be nice if they had more of a battle system. I know that's some of the criticisms I've seen out there, is that essentially the battle system is either not there or not the way it should be sort of set up. And this is very early. They've said that they're going to be updating it over the next every 2 weeks, and trading something, like you mentioned. Battling would be really great. I still don't understand this whole like Team Valor, Team Articuno and all
okay,
that fun
so
stuff.
Basically, the first thing that you need to know is that when you get it and you get to level 5, you need to join Team Mystic, because that is the only team that matters. But basically what happens is you have to hold gyms for, I believe it's 20 hours. And if you hold a gym for that amount of time, then you get basically the in-game currency. Your team can hold a gym, you can train at the gym and level it up, and then you can put more Pokemon there. But each person holding a gym can only put one Pokemon in the gym. So it's not like I could go to a gym, level it up to level 5, and then have 5 of my Pokemon. I need 4 other Team Mystic members to then come to the gym, put their Pokemon there, and help me defend it. And then we all get the bonus if we hold the gym for basically a day.
So you're Mystic then? That's the blue team?
Yes, that's the blue team.
Okay. Because I was going to say, and I think you had mentioned you were blue last week too, but I looked at sort of the icons, and then I looked at some of the descriptions, and the Articuno one does. That was always my favorite legendary Pokemon from the original franchise, which is, I didn't realize how like deep they'd gone in. Like, this is literally just the first 150 Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And I'm just really looking forward to exploring it and getting in there, and also seeing what's around me. Like, I do work near some National Historic Sites, so I want to see like what's there. And I've actually been really pleasantly surprised by some organizations that you wouldn't think would support something like this, but actually like really grabbing onto it and holding it dearly, and not in a fad like way. Like, I saw a video put out by the National Park Service in the US, like a guy in parks uniform talking about Pokemon Go, welcoming trainers into the parks, you know, being aware of your surroundings, but then also just soaking in your national parks while collecting Pokemon and mm-hmm. actually instructing them, like, yeah, if you need any help, talk to some of the parks rangers. Like, that is really cool. Like, seeing the way that the police, some of the police services are getting in on it too, and, you know, doing the safety angle, but also saying, like, you know, get out there, have fun, but be safe kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And I've really been digging that, and I'm sure that's the type of stuff that's putting people off that don't want to hear more about Pokemon Go. But yeah, I'm all in, and I can't wait until it's everywhere, because this game probably needs to be played by everyone. And I like that it's Nintendo attached to a good thing, even mm-hmm. if it's just by people kind of associating Pokemon to Nintendo. It's nice to have a win in their column. And
yeah. We're getting a correction from the chat room for both Jim and Matt, saying you can claim coins as soon as you're in a gym, but you only get to claim coins for a certain amount of time. And this is, I think, the other big failing of the app right now, is that, you know, like, I've read somewhere one thing, Jim has another idea, Matt has another idea on top of that, and so basically the app doesn't explain shit. Like, it gives you a really basic tutorial that is like, fling the ball at the Pokemon, go, but it doesn't actually tell you a lot of the finer points of the game. For instance, how to actually track down a Pokemon, how to figure out, and I mean, we figured it out just by doing it probably within the first night, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's a little bit frustrating mm-hmm. to not have everything kind of explained. So basically, Jim says you can put a Pokemon in the gym. Jim. And then you can click the reward icon in the shop, and you can only do that once every 24 hours. And then Matt is saying you can do it when you're in a gym and there's a 21-hour cooldown. So this is what I mean. Like, I thought it was a 20-hour cooldown, and Jim says it's 24, and Matt says it's 21, and nobody really, I'm sure it's probably somewhere, but everyone's experiences seem to be different, so that can be a little bit frustrating, and I think that's one of the biggest criticisms of the app, is that it's just, it doesn't really tell you the things that you should, or feel like you should know.
Okay. Well, yeah, I want to jump in, and I'm sure by next week, we'll have even more stuff to talk about, more stories, more experiences, since I'm finally getting off my butt and sideloading this thing or whatever. But
I'm looking forward to seeing what you actually think about it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that original 150, and I'm also just a fan of having that gamification. That's sort of how I've gone about exercise for the last little while, and I as well I've fallen off the wagon in terms of this thing, so I'm looking forward to that next thing that says, okay, this is going to get me out for a walk, a run, yada yada yada, because I'm seeing some bars that are attached to something more fun than just a step counter or mm-hmm. whatever. And, you know, Fitbits are great, but it's also nice to have these little games and stuff to yeah. apply to it. So yeah, looking forward to it.
So speaking of games, things mm-hmm. that we've played, we've actually played quite a lot of stuff this week. Most of stuff that we've played has been things that we have played in the past. For instance, I played Stardew Valley, and oh my god, before I even realized it, like, I closed the game and looked at my Steam profile, and I had like 90 minutes into it, and then I had like 7 hours into it, and I was like, did I just sit here and play for like 5.5 hours? And it turned out, yep, I did. So I can see the appeal of Stardew Valley now, and I'm really enjoying it and just sinking big chunks of time in. And I've also been sinking big chunks of time into Overwatch, which is a little bit unexpected, because I was talking about how much of a terrible experience I'd been having. My solo queue, the more I play, has been getting better, and mm-hmm. I've been having challenging games without getting blown out on either side, but I'm still not high enough to be competing in the ladder. So that's really my goal, is I just want to get to 25 and then see, you know, what kind of a placement they give me. But yeah, so I think I started out last week at level 9, and now I'm up to level 17, I think. So I'm getting there.
Good. Yeah, I haven't touched Hearthstone since the Tentacle one came out. The expansion. What is it?
Hearthstone? I'm talking about Overwatch, dude.
Oh, are you? I thought you were talking about... It's so hard to keep track of all this Blizzard game, and also I may or may not have been trying to...
To get Pokemon, I know.
Yeah, it's fine. The phone is over here. I'll do it later. I'm intently listening. So, Overwatch. And that's what I was thinking, like, all right, I'm just going to take a leap of faith the numbers were going in the opposite direction and she seemed happy about it, but I'm still going to stick with her.
Yeah, I went all the way from 9 to 17 and I was happy.
So it's okay. Sorry. So Overwatch, you were doing... that was your level. You haven't touched competitive yet?
Well, no, you can't do competitive till you're level 25. So I've just been trying to grind up my level. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Everyone
Everyone I talked to had been doing their placement matches. So I was like, I'll just load up and do my placement matches and see how it goes. And then it's like competitive play is locked if you are lower than level 25. And I was like, oh, my friends are way above me in levels. I didn't even know.
I'm not even sure what level I am in Overwatch, and that which I've been sort of thinking in the back of my head, I need to play more Overwatch. But I haven't for probably a good month now. The game's been out. When did it come out? Like late May?
May, yeah.
Yeah. So, I haven't touched in a while. I don't know what level I'm at. But I am interested in competitive, although I have seen a lot of people like sort of not complaining about it, but just talking about issues. And I might wait until that goes away. It was the same thing with Heroes of the Storm and the revamp to the rank system. I did finally place, but once I had placed, I really don't think draft mode's as fun as people make it out to be. It's not fun. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, for me, it's not fun because, like, I like to play a bunch of different heroes. And when I pop into a draft, it's like, I just end up playing, like, the same person every time or a healer.
Mm.
And that's, I mean, I'm not as competitive as you are or other gamers that we know. So when I go in there, I'm not trying to be competitive. I just want to have fun. And it's not fun to play the same hero every time, you know?
Yeah.
Which seems to be how competitive works out. So that's why I was excited about Overwatch's competitive mode and that you could pick whatever you wanted as long as you tried to have a balanced team. But now that they're introducing the sort of can only have one of each hero on the team, that sort of defeats the purpose of Overwatch. So...
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing that they're talking about patching into competitive mode is the hero limits. And I didn't know it was one. I kind of assumed it would be two, but it's going to stop people from taking advantage of certain compositions on certain maps. So, I mean, because there's a lot of times that they just basically exploit map design with five of one hero and, you know, one healer or something. And that can be really frustrating to play against. And it just makes the game generally not fun. So I can see limiting that. Mm-hmm. But again, to me, that limit should be something like two of one hero instead of, because, you know, that you also get people defending when they're like a team of all turrets. And that's really frustrating. And, you know, it kind of, it forces people. Yes, exactly. Leo in the chat room is saying four Bastions and two Reinhardts. Exactly. That can get really, really frustrating. So I can see how limiting heroes is a good choice for Overwatch, but you're right. It goes against the whole idea of Overwatch, which was, you know, a fluid combat system with a constantly changing team comp and, you know, the ability to basically do whatever you wanted. And limiting heroes, it takes that away. It goes against what their original goal was. But at the same time, if their original goal wasn't fun, it's good that they're coming out and saying, you know what, for competitive mode, you're not allowed to do that anymore because it's not fun and we want our game to be fun.
It's nice to not force it. And I've always enjoyed the way Blizzard sort of addresses their own products. Like a lot of companies, my favorite included, which is Nintendo, they don't ever speak ill of their decisions. Usually ever. Like the most recent I've seen is the new president kind of speaking ill of like, yeah, I mentioned that the Wii U was going to fail and there's no way we're going to sell 100 million. But you know, now I'm president, so they have to listen to me now. But the way Blizzard has always handled it has been just really refreshing for them to say like, yeah, we're going to change it, and we're going to just limit it to one, and that's how competitive play usually works for other games. And I mean, you want to have fun, go have fun in quick play, and it's the same thing with heroes. Well, like I don't have to play.
There's brawls. There's you know, custom games. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do. It's the same as heroes. You know, there's other options outside of doing their competitive mode. So I don't think there's really a problem with locking down one mode in a game to kind of conform to esports or, you know, a better competitive experience one way or the other. So one thing that they did actually announce as well in Overwatch this week is a new hero.
Nice.
Which is pretty freaking cool. She is right up my alley. She's like a sniper, but a healer. You're shooting your allies with basically like syringes, which I thought was kind of fun.
Super safe.
Yeah, totally safe. So
It's like lawn darts all over again.
Yeah, so you can, you have the ability to heal your allies, damage your enemies, and also kind of stun your enemies, put them to sleep for a couple seconds. So her name is Anna. She is, I believe, she's Farrah's mother, I think.
Yes.
Yes. So it's really interesting. It's bioweaponry, and she's got a really cool character design. So if you guys haven't checked it out yet, mm-hmm. go and see. I'm not 100% sure when they're actually going to patch her into the game.
She's in the PTR now. So I'm pretty sure you can play as her in the PTR. So I would say, I don't know, I would think in the next couple weeks she'll mm-hmm. be in the main game. And this is exciting because this is sort of how they're going to be handling new heroes as they go and just sort of adding them for free. And I wouldn't be opposed to actually, you know what? I think it's a great idea to put them out for free and for Blizzard to find other ways to monetize the game, in which they've mm-hmm. obviously the loot boxes are going well. And what is this, a month? So we already did the map. It was May. So it was, just less than 2 months since the game launched, and we've already got a new hero. And I saw someone in the chat room talking about new maps. So is there a new map as well in the PTR?
I'm not sure. I have not played on the PTR. I also haven't watched the origin trailer for her. I just read up on her, like just her abilities and her playstyle and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I haven't actually watched the trailer, and apparently it's a tearjerker. So
it's. You know, it's another typical, in a good way, Blizzard Overwatch trailer, in that they're showcasing all the history that they're pouring into this character that you're not getting just based on, that you're only getting a certain layer of when you're playing as her. And I really enjoy the history that they put into the game with the sort of back and forth between characters, but I really enjoy these quick 2-minute videos that they put out kind of talking about the history. And there's some great history between Anna and some of the characters we already know and love/hate from the main game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm excited to play as her, and I'm excited that Blizzard's sort of showcasing more content for Overwatch. But I, in typical fashion, it's like, okay, when do we get the next thing? Like, when,
yeah,
you know, because you've always want to know, and we've kind of fallen into a pit where we know the cycle for Heroes and for Hearthstone, where we know when to expect more content. We haven't quite seen that with Overwatch, so I'm still trying to piece that together, and I know a lot of other gamers are as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, that trailer that they show at the next event that's like, mm-hmm. okay, here's all the content you have looking to look forward to, and here's sort of when we're thinking of dropping it. So please, more please. It just looks so good. It looks so
yeah.
good.
Speaking of more from Blizzard, we mm-hmm. actually played some StarCraft II co-op on Thursday night, mm-hmm. and man, that was fun. I mm-hmm. had almost forgotten how fun StarCraft was, and also had forgotten how bad I am at it.
We did fine, except for that one map. I think we failed once pretty miserably.
Yeah, but I also can't even remember. Like, I played Zerg during the Heart of the Swarm campaign, and I played Protoss during the current Legacy of the Void campaign, but my go-to has always been, for any kind of competitive, has been Terran, and I didn't get to play Terran at all on Thursday night, so I feel like I would have been better, mm-hmm. or I would have like gotten back into the StarCraft mindset a lot faster had I been playing as Terran, but
yeah. I was surprised. The last time we played it, or the last time I had played it, was I feel like it would have been right around Legacy of the Void when it launched, when co-op started, and they were talking about, yeah, we're going to add another character for free, and we will support the game, we will be adding content, and I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. And when we went in, I'm like, well, we could try StarCraft II co-op, but I don't know how much has changed since we played, and boy, was I wrong. Like, they added like a new mutator mode, which mm-hmm. we didn't get to because we were below level 5, but they added more maps, more missions. There's a hero you can buy. Abathur is for sale. They added a couple others for free from what I saw, and I'm just excited that they're supporting it, because I like every aspect of StarCraft, just ladder matchmaking probably the least, but I'm glad that they're adding like more co-op, more single-player stuff.
And, yeah, I mean, yeah. They could have very easily just let StarCraft die. They could have yeah. just said, here's the end of the franchise, this is the game, and there you go, and walk away, but they didn't. They been supporting it quite well, I think. There's a lot of new content in there. I haven't played any of the Nova missions, but there's all the covert op stuff too. So there's, yeah, there's single player stuff, there's multiplayer stuff, there's online. It's just, they're putting a lot of content out there for a really great game. So I really enjoyed StarCraft. I love that universe. So it was a really, really good experience. But what else have you been playing this week? Because I have one more thing to talk about, which actually technically is Blizzard related. But I feel like I've been doing the I'm playing all of these things. So what have you been playing, Ryan, before I talk about my Hearthstone experience?
Right. So it's going on a bit of a binge on older games, specifically Red Dead Redemption, which just got launched on backwards compatibility for the Xbox One. And I don't know if you've ever played this title, but it's kind of heralded as one of the greatest games ever made. And I rented it 6 years ago when it came out, played it for a week. And
oh my God, is that 6 years old now? Holy crap. I remember Scott talking about Red Dead Redemption and his love of it on Final Score.
Yep, I remember that as well. And I always was, when I rented it, I was holding out for a PC version. I was like, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to get into it. I've played enough of it to know that I want to play it, but I'm going to wait for a PC version. And it never came. So fast forward 6 years later, we're getting rumors about Red Dead Redemption 2 being announced at E3 this year. It didn't happen. I read into some stuff as to why it didn't happen, which is kind of rumory, but whatever. It just didn't happen, which means the game doesn't exist until it is officially announced. Like,
right.
Map leaks can... There are GIS people out there that could fake a map of the Old West.
Me.
Not that difficult. Yeah, exactly. For all I know, Joss could have done it.
I totally did it.
Yeah, you totally faked.
I was just trying to screw with everyone.
Damn it. I got so excited. So, anyways, they announced it for backwards compatibility. I had never actually played a game on backwards compatibility, so I was also interested to see how that worked. And it was actually on sale as part of the Ultimate Game Sale for, I think, $8, which is a steal, considering this game... They like to resell these games for probably at least half of the price of what a normal title would cost, which is pretty expensive for a 6-year-old game. So I've been playing that like crazy, like nonstop, and just testing out a bunch of different ways to play it on the Xbox One. I was playing it just testing out backwards compatibility, and it works great, flawless 30 frames per second. It actually runs better on the Xbox One than it does on the 360, which is what you would expect, but a lot of games don't with backwards compatibility. It's that emulation that kind of throws it off a bit. But it's been working really great, and I'm actually already past the point. I'm playing things that I don't remember playing, so I'm past that point from where I'd last left the game. I didn't have the TV one night, so I even tried like Xbox One streaming from the living room to my computer, and that worked great.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool, and I had never done it before for long periods of times. And, you know, there's a couple of hitches because it is streaming video, but worked pretty well. And the game's 6 years old, so any sort of artifacting, you could probably just chalk up to the fact that it's a 6-year-old game. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Yeah, I played, I want to say, probably about 10 hours of it. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it. But for me, the big thing was because it's built on the same engine as Grand Theft Auto.
True.
And so the horseback riding was enough to just put me right off the game, because it's basically like it's a huge part, you know, like it's your transportation, and you do just so much in the horseback riding. And there's even at some points like competitions where you have to like do races or jumps or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's the same problem as L.A. Noire, is just the driving of the vehicle. Like, it's got the animation of a horse, but it's got the, like, I guess, footprint of a car.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, you're taking corners and you're getting caught on trees, even though you're, like, on screen this far away from the tree. And it's just, like, it's just so frustrating because of the engine that it's built on. Just, that's my big thing, and that's what ended up taking me right out of the game, was just the horseback riding, I guess.
The gunplay isn't, you know, the greatest either, especially the lock-on mechanics, because it's basically just like Grand Theft Auto, where you hold the aim button, it snaps to a character, you hit the fire button, go back into cover, rinse, repeat. where I've found now I'm just doing combat so sporadically that I've already got my meter for, I think it's like Deadeye, and you can just slow down time, tag a bunch of guys, kill them all, and move on. So that's the other thing. And again, like with a sequel, those are the two things I would like to see them address, because I don't think I've played a game yet that has done horseback riding perfectly. And I'm hoping that Breath of the Wild is the first one to really nail horseback riding. Because even The Witcher had these weird, like, little glitches where you'd be on your horse, and it felt like you were riding a wild animal. Well, you know, it is a wild animal, but still, like, you want to be able to enjoy your game, you know? You don't want to have it just be this really awkward thing that you're using 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But aside from those things, I'm really glad to be playing.
The visuals were great, the story was great, and it made me want to know what happened, but the mechanics were enough to take me out of it, and I never went back to it. And it's kind of unfortunate, because it is a great game by all accounts. Some people call it, you know, their favorite title, and that's, you know, not easy in the world that we live in with all of these amazing video games. Like, for somebody to say, like, no, Red Dead Redemption was it. It was so good. That's such high praise from so many people. But, the mechanics just took me right out of it. So yeah. I might go back and revisit it if they get some sort of, I mean, maybe backwards compatibility is the way to go. I was thinking maybe if there's some sort of like remastered edition, then maybe that would be worth going and looking into. But
do you have it on disc?
I do. I have it on 360.
So you could pop the disc into your Xbox One. It'll download a patch. If you go back to your 360, and I've done this with Mass Effect.
I'm pretty sure it's up there.
Yeah. So if your save is in the cloud, you put the disc in the Xbox One, it downloads a patch, and you can just start right from where you left off, and you get all the benefits of backwards compatibility. So you don't even have to buy the game. You can just use what you already have. I unfortunately played the game on PS3, but I was so not that far in that I wanted to restart it. So,
right.
And I mean, the characters are just really great. I don't often like the way Rockstar does their characters, but something about setting these quirky cartoony characters in the Wild West just worked really well. So I'm going to be pecking away at that game probably until they announce a sequel, which hopefully will happen at some point this year. There's enough like sort of sources and pointers and hints like towards a sequel, and it has been 6 years since this developer had put out their last game, so they're due up at some point. I do recommend it on backwards compatibility if you haven't beat it or just want to check it out again. Just pop your disc in the Xbox One and go at it. But the other game I played, I started to tear into, was Doom. There was a huge Bethesda sale on Green Man Gaming where I got it for like $30. And I've been eyeing this one for a while and finally picked it up. I had played the demo that was out, which is the first level, and then decided based on that experience to pick it up. And It's just a balls to the wall, really awesome shooter that is very arcadey.
Well, gross shooter. Gross. You forgot the word gross.
It is gross, but you know, the thing is, it's so comically gross that it's not like the Call of Duties where it's like you're mowing down other human beings. In this, you are a Marine just tearing apart demons, and it's just so over the top and so comedic in the way it's going on. And that's the way you do a Doom sequel, you know? Doom 3 was not the way to do it.
Like, every single time I walked over when Matt was playing it, and I'd walk over and be like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're playing Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
There's a lot of gross, there's a lot of blood, but it's, I don't know, something about it. It's just so satisfying to go in there, shoot some bad guys. My favorite mechanic is essentially what you do throughout the entire game, where you just shoot guys enough to get them to a point where they're phased, and you hit the F button and you literally do something terrible to their bodies. Like, you tear their arm off and beat their head off, or you like tear their leg off and shove it down their throat. Like, it is really gross.
I repeat, ew.
I know. I'm just trying to.
It's funny because I'm not really squeamish, and I don't generally, things in gore in video games doesn't bother me all that much. But for whatever reason, just stuff in Doom, I just Like, who thought of that?
smart people. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of the way you do a Doom sequel properly this day and age. And I am one who had enjoyed Call of Duty shooters at a time, and now they've kind of fallen out of favor in my sort of gaming time. I think Black Ops 3 was the first one I had not finished. I had started to play it, and I was kind of like, I don't know. This isn't doing it for me. And Doom, and even Halo 5 was still kind of like, I need to finish this for the story, but it's still not really doing it for me. It's not what I want with these shooters, and Doom is kind of it. Like, people were right when this game came out and kind of really praising it. It is the shooter we need to just have fun. It is the equivalent of just going in, forgetting everything, stress relief, tear demons apart, and the story is ridiculous. The voice acting's phenomenal. Like, you got Optimus Prime in there. He's the main dude.
I do like that voice actor.
Mm-hmm. There's an angry British lady. She's in there. I don't know her name. She's angry and she's British.
She's in there.
And she's evil. So they got that check mark. But yeah, highly recommend Doom. And I apologize to those who had told me I needed to play it. Because there's a few listeners that had said, like, have you played Doom yet? I'm like, nah, not yet. So I recommend it. And if you need to be sold, there is still, I think, a demo out there, which is the first level, which really captures the game.
I think I'll probably just leave it to you, yeah. And apparently everyone in the chat room, and yeah, you guys can be the Doom players. I think I'm gonna pass on.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with passing on games, but like, if you do, like, if you can handle the gore, and really it's just so comical gore. It's not like even Resident Evil, where the gore is clearly humans and their brains and their ugh, you know, but and intestines. This is just red stuff coming out. Think of it as like demon pinatas, but instead of candy, it's it's fruit punch.
That's not better. That's not better.
You just punch the fruit punch out of them. That's why they call it fruit punch.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
On that note, I wanted to thank our patron this week. We actually have a new patron, so thank you very much for the support to Nephew. If you want to be just like him or her, actually, you can head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin and throw us some support over there. We do a monthly patron hangout as a result of your support, and we are working towards getting Game Night back on track. Yep. So if you like the Game Night streams and if you want to play with us, the best thing you can do is head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin and help us out over there to bring back Game Night. So I think that's pretty much going to do it for us this week. We tried out a little bit of a different format because most of our news was actually related to the games that we had played. So please send us an email and let us know what you thought about the format for tonight's show. We basically just integrated all of the news we were going to talk about anyway into our What We're Playing section. So Let us know what you think. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
I'm going to go catch me some Pokemans.
It's about time.
Hell, it's about time.